Thankful to have Brother Jose with us yet again this afternoon. We'll look to him to have the message, but he's asking that since his English reading ability is not the best, he's asking that I would have the reading, and then he'll have the message this afternoon. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Our gracious God, our Father in heaven, we look to thee at all times, and we know that when our hearts are right before thee, that thou wilt provide, and that thou wilt provide in a beautiful way. And so we just pray, Lord, that as the message would go forth, that thou wouldst bless the reading, bless the meditation of the word, and we would pray for our brother Jose, Lord, that as he would speak, Father, that thou wouldst bless it. The message that would come forth, that it would be written indelibly in our hearts. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the passage of scripture that Brother Jose would like to expound upon this afternoon would be found in Luke 15. Luke chapter number 15. We'll read the whole chapter. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in the heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, A certain man had two sons, and the younger said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divideth unto them his living. And not many days after, the young son gathered all together, and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto them, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he had received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandments, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I may make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which had devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. May God bless the reading of his word, and let us kneel before him in prayer upon our knees.
As we think about the scriptures that we just read, we can picture Jesus surrounded by sinners. That's what we got here. And those sinners can be you and I. There was publicans, and there was known, well known, because this kind of people, they like to rob. To take somebody else's belongings. And they came to Jesus. They don't came to the wrong place. They've been learning in their own lives in the school of sin. They know how to cheat people. They know how to take advantage of others. And some of them probably, they don't know where or how to hide. So they heard about Jesus, a man that gives hope and direction for life. A man who take care of people's problems. And we as a Christians, we've been experienced that in life. We sing songs, give it all to Jesus, right? And we, and in faith, we do that from time to time. So sinners and publicans came to hear, and we know that sin represents anything that offends God. And they came to hear what he has to say. He never compromised with sin. So he will tell the truth and give direction to those that fall in sin. I remember when I converted, and the Holy Spirit pressed on my life and telling me, you need to go and do restitution and get free. I went and I asked for forgiveness. And I confessed my sin to the people that I offend. One of them I was trying to get very hard a passport to come into the States. This is before I became converted, of course. And they asked me a few questions, and I lie. You know, it's okay to get advantage of the situation. I lie. So we think that probably this is not a terrible sin. But the scripture said that the liars could not inherit the kingdom of God. But the day came when I was so convicted. So I went to the immigration office and I asked for the supervisor. And he came. And he was kind of curious about me, and he says, "What can I do for you?" I said, "Do you have a moment?" And he was probably not trusting me, and he said, "What's all about?" I said, "I need 3 minutes." He says, "I will give it to you." So I said, "A month ago, I came here to apply for passport, local passport, we call it. And they asked me a question, how long I've been working in this job. I said, 1 year. Sir, a lie. I give my heart to Christ. I'm a Christian now. And I just came to ask forgiveness. I'm sorry that I did that." So he says, "That's fine." And he denied. He gave some orders to other inspector, and he denied my visa for 1 year. I could not come into the States. So I was free. And I waited a year, and I got my passport. And I don't have to lie anymore. So I'm just giving brothers, sisters, and friends an example of what Jesus does, what he do in the lives. Change our hearts. To do the right thing. Do not take advantage of no one. To be just with people. And he be honored if we can just come to him and listen what he had to say. We read here 3 stories. The first one is about the lost sheep. I don't have no experience with sheep. I have a lot of experience with goats. I didn't like goats. At the age of 14 years, I was 14 years old when I take care 250 goats of my father. I was alone on the farm and the hills and through the mountains, and I was miserable with that. And you know what? God don't like goats either. He will put in the left side because they demand a lot of effort. You try to take it to the right and they go to the left. You say stop and they run. You try to do anything to have it under control. It's almost impossible. Sheep is different. But I don't have experience. And when I think about that lost sheep, I feel sorry for those animals because they're very dependable. And goats not. They don't listen. And I believe, and forgive me, probably I should not say that God don't like goats. But when I can see that picture in the Bible that he says that the goats, they're going to be in the left and the sheep in the right. What I mean is God knows the character of the goat and about the sheep. And he calls us sheep. So he compares us. He knows that we are dependable. If we are alone, we are in great danger. Great danger. But goats, they don't care. They try everything. They eat everything. And tell us a story here. A man who had 100 sheep, and he lost one. You know, this is a very special thing for him. He needed to go and look around through the mountains, through the hills, through the wherever he was, looking around until he found death. He left that big crowd wherever he kept those 100 sheep and go and look for that. And he said when he found it, he picked it up, he put them on his shoulders. I'm pretty sure he's talking to her all the way, telling her, why you stay away from the group? I told you that you're going to be lost. I'm telling this because I heard with my own ears some people talking to the animals. And I believe that God talked to us in a loving way. He said, see, I told you, I give instruction and you don't listen to me. This is the character of God, that he's so loving to us. He didn't argue with us. And he took care of us when he found us, when he found each one of us. And he says, and then this man comes back home and told the friends around, rejoice with me because I've been found that lost sheep. See, he asked all the neighbors. This is normal and those that have sheep or goats. They go and talk to the neighbors. They go and talk to those that have a big crowd of animals, probably hoping that it's with one of them. Some years ago in the orphanage, they lost about 4 sheep. And they went through the mountains and went and looked all day, never found them. You know, God does the last trip looking for each one of us, looking, still looking for those that still lost. And then there is another parable. See, parables, we understand that it's a story, a true story that happened, and the Lord gave an application so we can understand the message that he wants to give us. And then told us a story also about a woman. They had 10 pieces of silver, and she lost one of them. I'm pretty sure if we lost one coin today, we probably don't care. We will care if we lose our phone. We will look all over, because it's very important for us. Probably you can look for something else that we lost. But a coin, probably not. But see, in that time, this woman, that number 10 coin of silver means a lot. So she will go through the house, sweep, move everything, and look for the coin. And talk to the neighbors. Probably, you know, if Israel in those days was like Mexico, for example, I think probably different than the States. In Mexico, people just go house to house, asking for sugar, asking for salt, asking for some vegetables just to borrow from each other. Probably this woman was something similar and went and asked, and she didn't know she lost that coin. And when she realized, she went and looked until she find it. I was probably 8-10 years old. My parents, especially my father, believe that children do not need no money. So I never carry a wallet in my pocket until I was close to get married. And then I lost it kind of later. So I don't have money. I was one day helping doing something in the house, and I found a little bag with shiny coins. And I didn't know what it was. I didn't tell nobody. I put it in my pocket, and I went and hide. And then I count each one of them, and I compare it what's different than the money that we have. So I went and hide it. And I took a few coins, and I went. I knew where to go and ask. You know, in those days, there was also publicans. So I went, and I asked a man, I said, can you buy this coin? And he looked, and he said, oh, this is silver. It's silver coins. And I said, okay, how much can I get for that? So he gave me like, probably, so you have in mind, probably a half day of work in Mexico. Probably like $4 for one of them. I thought, I never had such a good money. And I said, can you change a few? And he gave me a good hand full of money. Put in my pocket. For the first time, I have money. I spend it, and I remember where I got that rest. I went, every time that I finished the coins, the money, I went and get more. You know, I then remember this thing that happened in my childhood until probably a few months ago. I still need to go and apologize and ask forgiveness to my family because, see, they was part of the whole family, probably heritage. I didn't know that I get value. So I spent it all. And I just give you this example because in those days, a silver coin, there was very much. I believe that this bag of money, of coins, they came from my grandparents, give it to my father. They want to have a collection, probably. Never told us anything. Never asked for them. Probably they forgot. But I know that God never forgot anything that we do. This woman came and said to the rest of the people, I found my coin. I found it. I got all of it. God is so interested in our lives that he's going to go and look for anyone, anywhere, anytime, and he's going to try to find you. He tried to find each one of us. And his joy, when he found our lives, that is joy. There is a joy that we cannot describe. You know, when I went and asked for forgiveness, I have a clean conscience. Nothing bothered me about sin. And I experienced things in my own life that I had to go to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, I fell. Please forgive me. We have an enemy that will come from time to time to rob, to steal your peace, our peace. And we need to be very careful in prayer, reading the scripture. There is no other way. She says, rejoice with me because I have found the silver coin that was very important for her. When each of us became to repentance. A couple of weeks ago, I was talking to a young man about repentance. He told me, I didn't know. I never knew there is two kinds of repentance. One is when you really, is when you repent because you got caught. And you embarrass and probably have some pain, but nothing changed up to that. Number two is when you really repent, go and ask forgiveness, when you go and make restitution, and when you depart from there. This man was in prison and he was exposed to the gospel, and thank God, some of our brothers know him, and he's a different man because he is making his life straight with God. And then told us another story here that happened. Was not imagination. There was a story that happened that Jesus talked to the told the disciples. There was a man, and can be you and I, had two children, two boys. And this, one of them, the youngest, I heard that the youngest is the most difficult. I'm not sure if it's general for all, but the youngest, probably we don't take care good. The first one we want to watch very good. If he falls or she falls, we want to be in good shape. And the little one, we cannot know that, oh yeah, all the children falls. All the children cry. All the children hurt themselves. So probably we cannot let them alone more. And they make more mistakes. This is just my view. And you don't have to be agree with me in that. Because I know that it's not general for all the children. We have wonderful children and families that we don't know how to do it. Or what did they do? So we can have the same results. And we hear here that this man, his youngest son says, Father, I want the part of the heritage. One day you're going to give it to me. I need it right now. I just remind me that Ten Commandments. Honor your father and thy mother. This is the first commandment with promises, so you can be good in life. So you can have a good life. Honor them. But this young man, I'm pretty sure that he has plenty of good friends. They give influence to this young man. Because this father raised two children, and one was a hard worker. And I don't know what happened with the other one. He became very ambitious. She wants to spend. He wants to go away where father, where daddy cannot see him. I think it was offensive, and that was very hard for the father to hear those words from his children. This child. Talk to mom probably. And she says, what can we do? Just give it to him. We cannot control him. It's all enough. You know, we as fathers, we don't see many times different we see things different than the mother. Seems like the mother is more soft, sweet, and care more. But see, God make us different. He make man so he can be a leader in the house. And something much, much beautiful is he make man to be the priest in the house so he can be between his family and the Lord, to teach them, to provide for them, to be the guy, to be the example, to be the pattern. Recently I saw a picture with some words that says, I was ready to give up, but I realized that somebody was following me. Was following me. And that can be our children. Any mistakes, any decisions that we make, of course, they will see father and mother. So he gave the portion that belongs to him, and he, not too many days later, he did everything, prepare everything, and left home. That is not easy. I remember the day that I left home. I was 17. So I talked to my father and said, I told him, I'm leaving tomorrow. I never argue with my father. Never. I respect him all the time. I was not agree with him, but I respect him, and I said, Dad, I'm leaving tomorrow. I'm going to the States. He says, you're crazy. You're not going nowhere. I said, no, I'm not. I'm leaving. I tried to not cry so he would know that I'm a man. This is my first trip alone for 48 hours on the bus alone. I was scared. But I don't have the money that this other son that we read today had with him. I was hoping, I was different, of course. And then we know the parents care so much for children. So my mother, from that day on, she used to get up about 4:30 in the morning and got on her knees and call upon God because her child. I believe that there was some similarities in that story. The mother prayed, called upon God for that son, that he can make good decisions, that he can find good friends. But that happened. He got with the wrong crowd. He had many, many days to celebration, many days and pay expensive friends, boys and girls, and wasted all until he had nothing. And he came to the conclusion, because he was hungry, starving, and says there was not so much work in those days in that place, and he looked for something to do so he can have a little food. A little food. He saw the pigs. He was taking care. And that is not pleasant. I don't know how many of you have been taking care of pigs. I know that if you close by one of them, other people will realize where you've been. So if we are in the wrong place, we will show where we've been. And he remembers something. And I believe that was not only a good memory of a young man. I believe there was a mother probably somewhere calling upon God. Oh God, I put this child in your hands. Take care of him. Please, I'm not ready to give him up. Take care of him. And probably night up to night or day up to day, there was prayers. The scripture doesn't say that. But I cannot imagine a mother that don't care that his son or his daughter or her daughter left home. We as a man probably we go in a corner and cry a little because it's painful for what our children are going through. But mothers, I cannot describe the pain so deeply in their hearts. So one day, I think God hear the prayer and stop the rain and stop the season. And there was no harvest. There was nothing. So one child, that somebody's asking for him, realize how terrible it is to live away from home. And I can just picture the Lord saying, go home. You need to go home. There's somebody waiting for you there. I see there is fear. There is some kind of, in our hearts and humankind, there is some kind of dignity. We can see it. Because we are made of the image of God, and dignity is one of the things that he put in our lives. And this man, he knew that he's not worthy of that. So he studied all about the situation. I say a study. I don't know how else to describe it. I don't know if he was just making decisions so quickly, but I think this young man realized how terrible he is now and the decision that he's make. You know, when we realize how we are and the decision that we make towards God, we feel miserable. Miserable. And we know that we need to go and have peace with him. He thought, well, I know in the house of my father, there's plenty of food. Plenty. And I'm perish of hunger in this place. I will go to my father. I will not expect that he receive me as a child. I broke his heart. I broke everything. The honor. I had no dignity. So he went back. No shoes on. Terrible appearance. And he got close to home. And we can figure out, we can see the picture of the father looking to the distance, saying, it is he? Doesn't look like. No, my son was not like that. No, this man is a homeless. I think it's a different word. And then he was moved. Something moving his heart and looked to him and he realized, this is my son. and he ran. And I believe that God, in the same way, look to the distance when we come. We already have been calling upon him and asking, oh God, I waste my life. Everything that you gave me, value, honor, dignity, I lost everything. So please forgive me. I'm not worthy to be called thy children. So he ran the father and grabbed his son, hugged him, kissed him, and the son told what was in his heart. The message was short. I'm not worthy to be called thy child. Please make me like one of your servants. Very short, humble. He was not demanding. He was pleading. He was asking, make me. Like one of your servants. But see, that heart of the Father didn't change. You are my son. You are my son. You was dead, now you are alive. You was lost, now you are found. And this is the joy that happened in heaven through the angels. When a sinner that got stuck in sin become free, and he comes asking, not demanding, asking to be a servant. Oh yes, make us a servant, oh God. God bless his word.
The Bible here says that then drew near unto him all the publicans and the sinners. All of them came to hear what Jesus had to say. And then he taught them. And the way he taught them was through these stories, through these parables. And we know that that's a very effective way to teach a principle, is through a story. And Jesus was the master teacher. And so he taught them through stories. And we understand as a people, as creatures of God, we understand things when we hear a story and know how that can relate to the principle that's being taught. And so he's teaching these publicans and these sinners. And he's teaching them what? He's teaching them the love of God and how there is rejoicing in heaven above when a sinner comes home. That's what he's teaching them. He's showing unto them, and he's showing unto us what it's like in heaven. He's giving us a glimpse into what it's like in that realm, in heaven. And he's showing them, it is at this moment, and it is this time, and it is at this event that the angels rejoice. And that is when a sinner comes home. Man can do great achievements. Man can do great things. Propel themselves into space. Do all kinds of scientific calculations and discoveries. The angels don't rejoice in those things. There's no rejoicing in heaven over those types of things. But when a sinner comes home, there is great rejoicing in heaven. And so he's teaching them these things. And he's telling these sinners and these publicans that had come to him that this is what it's like in heaven, and this is the love that God has for you. That if a son goes and does despicable things and comes home smelling like pigs, that the father embraces him and kisses him and says, this is my son. He was dead, and now he's alive. And this is God's love for us. The Bible says that that God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet turning away from the Lord, when we were walking in our rebellion, when we said no thank you to God, God commended his love toward us at that time, And so this is the message through these stories this afternoon. God really, really loves us. He really loves you, our sinner friends. And he is waiting to receive you. And when he receives you, there is joy in heaven above and joy in the homes of families as a sinner comes home. So through these teachings of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, may these stories and this principle be written indelibly in our hearts. Amen.